In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Probably at one point or another, you've heard someone ask the question, what would Jesus do? And that is, in my view, kind of an odd question to ask any one of us, because is anyone here true God and true man? No. Is anyone here without sin? No. Is anyone here omniscient and all-powerful? No. So, you know, asking ourselves when we're confronted with a question, what would Jesus do, isn't particularly helpful. Rather, what we should ask is, what would Jesus have me do? That is a much better question to ask. But let's go back to what would Jesus do. Realize that in the light of today's gospel, an answer to that question is, make a whip of cords and drive the moneylenders from the temple. That is not one of the things, not just what would Jesus do? That's what Jesus did. And all kidding aside, why would he do that? What was wrong with the cattle sellers and the money changers being in the temple? Well, to answer that, we have to ask ourselves, how did the Jews view the temple in Jerusalem? What was so important about it? Well, a couple of things, one of which is that it was God's dwelling place upon earth. Not just symbolic, but truly his dwelling place. Because if you read the story of when the temple was dedicated by Solomon, God's very presence filled it. God's throne, also known as the Ark of the Covenant, his symbolic throne, was placed within the temple in the Holy of Holies. So it was the tangible sign of God's presence among the people of Israel. Also, it was the only place where sacrifice could be offered. The only place on the whole face of the earth where sacrifice could be offered to God. And sacrifice was and is very important. You know, today we have one sacrifice. The one sacrifice of Christ on the cross made eternally present to us through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But in the Old Covenant, there were many sacrifices. Many sacrifices that were required. So, for example, when a firstborn child is also a male, a special sacrifice had to be offered by the parents in the temple in Jerusalem. If you were wealthy or wealthier, it was a young bullock. If you were less wealthy, like, let's say, Joseph and Mary, it was the sacrifice of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. This was offered in thanksgiving for the birth of that child. There were also the sacrifices which were made in atonement for sins, or the sacrifices of the first fruits, the thanksgiving offerings, and they could only be offered in the temple in Jerusalem. So why were there livestock sellers and moneylenders in the temple? I'll give you one word, convenience. You know, it's awful hard if you're trying to offer a bullock, you'd have to go down to Bullocks R Us, and then you have to rope it, and you have to wrangle it all the way up to the temple, or you were actually supposed to take it from your own livestock. So you take it from your farm, your ranch, and you'd have to wrangle it all the way to Jerusalem. You get all sweaty and dirty. When instead you can go to the nice cattle seller in the temple. And you don't even have to touch the cattle. He'll take it to the priest for you. Very convenient, very easy. But it's kind of cheating, isn't it? You're not really going through the effort. You're just going through the motions of doing what God requires of giving to God. And the same thing could be said of any of the animals which were offered by the cattle wranglers in the temple. Well, what about the money changers, those ATMs of the ancient world? Well, if you came from a foreign country, you had to have your money changed so that you could buy one of these cattle. And if the coin had an image of a pagan deity on it, you couldn't place it in the temple, in the treasury in the temple. So you had to change it for money which was acceptable to the temple. Heaven forbid that you should actually have to go to someone outside of the temple, take that extra effort. Instead, you just go to the money changers and you turn the house of God, a place of worship in the very presence of God, into a marketplace for your own convenience. It's a horrible thing to do, isn't it? But are we that different? And how many people moan and complain about not eating meat on Friday? Oh, it's so awful. Oh, can't I get a dispensation because it's St. Patrick's Day? So they couldn't put off St. Patrick's Day for just a day. Convenience can be very seductive. And so what did our Lord do? You say, what's wrong with this? Obviously something, because when our Lord saw this, the zeal for the house of the Lord filled him, and he drove the moneylenders and the sellers of cattle out of the temple. In doing so, he fulfilled one of the prophecies of the prophet Malachi. He also purified the worship of God, which was part of his mission, to get things back on track. And yet when he did this, what did some people say? Where do you get the authority to do that? You're just a rabbi from Galilee. Who told you you could do this? Who told you? You could say how the temple is run. And it says, you tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up again. And of course they thought it was the building, the temple of Herod, which had been under construction for 46 years. That would have been a very remarkable miracle to tear down that building and rebuild it again. But he wasn't talking about that building. He was talking about what that building foretold. Because God's greater presence upon earth was not the temple in Jerusalem, but the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God among us, Emmanuel. And they would tear down that building upon the cross. Our Lord would die. And what happened in 3 days? He rose from the dead. That was the sign of his authority, and that's the only sign we need. That's the only sign we need for anything. You know, St. Paul said it's a stumbling block to the Jews and an absurdity to the Greeks, but for those who understand, it is the sign of the wisdom and the power of God. It is the sign that Jesus is in fact Lord and God, and that nothing is more powerful than he is. And so if someone ever asks you, why do you follow Jesus? Because he has died and rose. Why do you let Jesus tell you what to do? Because he has died and rose from the dead. Why do we follow Jesus and allow him to tell us that our lives are a little bit out of whack and that we need to be purified? Because he has died and risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.